found this on Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
Sickaholics.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Holly Michelle!
Holly Michelle is one of our new friends from the Artful Gremlins. I said Artful Geeks on our Star Trek episode. I apologize profusely.
For shame.
Robbie's excuse he covered for me. He's like, well, you know, you're friends with the Geekyverse, so, you know... you just kind of combine the names. Geeky Gremlins and the Geeky... Artful Gremlins. So tell us what you do with the Artful Gremlins.
Artful Gremlins. Well, so far, I haven't actually done really anything. Except I...
You're an accomplished...
I was at Comic-Con, Buffalo Comic-Con.
That's where we met.
Weeks ago, we did meet there.
And it was lovely meeting you.
It was awesome.
And I'm in your lovely home right now?
Yes, with my crazy, needy weasel of a dog.
Weasel!
So basically with Artful Gremlins, they kind of, I guess, refer to me as their resident voice actor. I am going to be lending my voice talents to a couple of, they're kind of like, I wouldn't say short stories, but, you know, series on their channel that they're going to produce. They haven't finished writing them yet, so I can't really tell you much about them.
I'm volunteering for this, too, at Buffalo Comic Con.
Volunteer's
tribute. I'm tribute. They're raising my three fingers. No, but...
story. Stop.
But it's something I'm definitely wanting to get into, too. So
yes.
Hopefully I'll get even more chances to work with you in
yes.
the future.
Yes. Voice acting, I mean, so far I haven't really done any jobs. But I did record my demo, and that was a lot of fun. It was a long process of, you know, I had to do a couple of different courses with voice coaches. And we did exercises and found my...
I slit a sheet I slit, now I sleep on a slitted sheet.
Whoa. Well, we didn't do that.
You didn't?
No.
It's like my favorite one.
I've never heard that tongue twister.
I slit a sheet I slit, now I sleep on a slitted sheet.
I actually have a slitted sheet downstairs.
Do you sleep on it?
No, it's downstairs. In the basement.
Say it back to me.
I can't.
I slit a sheet I slit, now I sleep on a slitted sheet.
Try it. It's this okay is if my third shit. Whiskey, so I think we'll be
say
good.
It. I'm sure it's okay if you say
no.
I slit a sheet.
I will
I sheet,
probably
I slit,
accidentally
now I sleep
curse.
On a slitted sheet.
Yeah.
It's okay. We can mark our episode explicit. It's fine. Yes,
well,
guys, usually we drink as we're doing the show, but we just recorded a commentary, and so we were already a couple of drinks in.
Mm-hmm. I just gave... Do you go by David on here or Duncan?
David. I don't think anyone's ever called me Duncan.
I call him Duncan. I don't know. I guess I just
you
met
just
him.
You just call people by their last name.
I do.
You call Robbie Palmer.
I call
Palmer.
Him Palmer, and I mean, I call Brooke, but I...
People at my last job called me Double D.
Double D?
Double D.
Why? Oh, David Duncan.
Because I have double D breasts.
Yeah. I get the two Ds. well,
my back is killing me, guys.
Well.
So,
I won't tell you what I have. But, I refer to David as Duncan. I'll try to refer to him as David on here.
Oh, you can refer to me as Duncan. I'd say... Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, so they know my last
oh,
name.
Oh, perfect. So
they know my last
yeah.
name.
Yeah. So where was I going with this, Duncan?
I think that's just how you're going to refer to me if you refer to me on the show, Holly.
No, I was saying something.
We're
going to listen to this, and it's going to be like, wow, how did we get there from there?
Magic. Gosh. Well, we're in the month of October. Lots of scary things are happening. We talked about last week the scariness of a Trump or Hillary Clinton presidency that will lead us to the sanctuary districts, which are depressing and sad. We're not going to get political this time because we are in the haunted month of Halloween. October. Halloween's not the month, unfortunately.
Halloween is not the month.
I hope you can't tell that I've had a couple of drinks. This is going to be fun, guys. We sent the holics for a reason.
Oh, I remember what I was saying and why I was going to telling them about why I called you Duncan. So I just introduced Duncan to a drink that I tend to drink. Usually when I go out to the bar, I have Jameson, soda water, and some lime. So we go to Wegmans and we get these, you know, sometimes we get sparkling mineral water that's just plain. But they have a couple of flavors. And right now we are drinking the Wegmans Mixed Berry soda water and Jameson and a lime. So it is delicious, and I'm glad that he's enjoying it because I am also enjoying it.
And also plastic ice cubes, which are awesome.
Yes, my plastic ice cubes that don't water down your drink.
Yes.
Wow, this girl's got a problem. Snoring.
Gotta have them drinks. But speaking of the month of October and Halloween, last year we did spooky schisms to kind of like get you in the mood for the Halloween with Star Trek. This year, we're going to do the Star Trek Voyager Episode 1, which is Season 4, Episode 25 of Star Trek Voyager.
Which, oddly enough, is my birthday.
425?
Yes. When he told me, he's 425, like, it's season 2000? 4, episode 25.
Are you
I was
only
like,
16
what?
Years old?
Well, not 2000.
Well, that's when it came out, 2000.
Oh, okay, so it's not my birthday. I lied. By a lot. But don't women do that? Don't women lie about their age all the time?
You could pass for 16.
I know. It's sad. But I am the oldest female at work. I work at Chipotle, folks. And I love Chipotle, and I could spew Chipotle all day long. However, the people that I work with are 22 and younger. And it's mind, not only is it mind-boggling, sometimes it's really friggin' irritating. Because everybody, like, there was this one person who didn't know who Weird Al was. And
what?
I was like, what? Who?
How do you not know who Weird Al is?
I know. That was my thought. I was like, what is going on with you people? And then there's this one kid, and he's great. Well, I don't remember how old he is. I think he's like 20. Maybe he's 22. But he knew who Weird Al was, and that was great, because I was like, yay. But how do you other people not know who Weird Al is?
Weird Al is...
And why do you all only listen to Drake? Can we listen to, like, friggin' Dope or something?
Or listen to Warp 11, the people that do our music for us. Warp 11, they're a Star Trek band.
Oh! We'll have to... Do they have any music on Pandora?
Probably.
Because that's...
I'll play some for you after the show while we're packing up.
Perfect.
So, this episode is called One. In this episode, they go to this nebula. The Voyager's trying to get back home. They're on their million-year journey back home because, you know, flying takes
away.
A long time.
Yeah, they got ripped away from their actual...
the quadrant. Quadrant.
And they, in order to get back, it's going to be 75 years at warp speed before they return.
At warp 9.
Warp 9, sorry. Yeah. Before they can even get back. So they're all going to age and lose their families and all this crap. So they're just on this crazy journey to get back.
They're just trying to get home, guys.
Yeah, and Captain Janeway is refusing to let anything stand in their way, and there's this nebula, and...
It would take a year to fly around it. Although, like, how tall is the nebula? I feel like they're trying to, like, fly around it, like, left to right.
Why
didn't they go over it? That wouldn't have taken a year.
It might have been
a month or two. But they're like, oh, it'll take a month to transverse it. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Right.
But so they try to fly through the nebula, and, like, all of a sudden people get these nasty burns.
Not just that. They intense, like, migraine pains. Like,
yeah, first they get migraines, and then they
start to, their skin starts to boil and burn. And it's really bizarre, and nobody's really able to actually Paris can't really turn the, he can't redo the coordinates in the computer. Gosh, I can never pronounce his name.
Tuvok?
Tuvok.
Tuvok has to go into it. Tuvok. But the funny thing is, it's like, Tom, do reverse order. And I'm like, well, if he's having such a hard time getting there, why didn't you just order the computer to do it?
Yeah.
And later in the episode, 7 of 9 tells the computer to change heading. It's exactly. Just like, what? Why didn't...
Yeah, she doesn't have to push the damn button.
Like, that doesn't even make any sense. And then, you know, how come they weren't told to turn around sooner, like calling for catastrophic reports? Because let's take a look at Voyager. The bridge is almost at the back of the saucer section.
Okay.
So everyone on the ship in the first half of the ship
was should have been feeling the effects.
It should have been like, hey, look, we've got some weird emergency. What's going on the bridge, guys?
Well, actually, if you watch the episode, so when Captain Janeway calls down to Med, he's like,
he's flooded with people.
He's got people all in
so,
there.
So, I mean, it's sort of concerning. Yeah, but nobody reported it to the bridge.
So they're like, you know what? They're to blame.
they should have called up sooner. So, Seven's in the sick bay, and because she's hanging out with the doctor because he's been trying to teach her about social graces, and so as a social grace, she inquires about B'Elanna Taurus's and Tom's sexual activities. Before quickly turning to something else. And he's like, well, maybe you should give them more time to answer. Mm-hmm. And she's like, let's go get me a checkup. And he's like, what? He's like, that's better than doing holodeck, you know, prancy stuff. She's
so basically, like, the doctor has put her on the holodeck, and he's trying to create situations where she is able to hold conversations with humans. I mean, she's human, but she's also Borg. And she's not finding her comfort zone with other humans.
She'd rather kind of be alone usually.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, she's used to a hive mind.
Yeah, she's used to all these people being around, but she doesn't like interacting. Like, she's used to like getting quick answers, and doctor's like, don't interrogate people.
Well, with the Borg, you don't actually have to physically be in the same room, but you're all connected mentally.
Yeah.
So there's that companionship. Now she's on the Voyager, and she's got 100 something crewmates. A bunch of these humans, 100, I think they say 196, but I've been drinking whiskey, so who knows. Anyway.
Never goes up or down depending on births and deaths.
So basically, she's kind of alienated. And so after they start to feel these reactions to this nebula, you know, the captain tells them to reverse course and go the opposite way. And, what's his name again?
Tuvok struggles to the console, but he's able to do it. I don't know why they just didn't utter a voice command, since that would have saved them the pain of walking, since walking seems excruciatingly difficult. Seven comes to the rescue because she's given something by the doctor to treat the burns.
Well, she's not actually there yet. Tuvok gets the ship rerouted, and then everybody kind of comes back from their crazy migraines, and they wake up, and they've, you know, some of them have these burns all over their bodies, and one person actually died. His whole face is covered.
Seven's like, he's
just like
dead.
Burned. And Seven comes in because she was with the doctor, and only Seven and the doctor, because the doctor's a hologram, were unaffected by this nebula.
Yeah, it's some kind of like death degeneration field that's part of the nebula, and it just disintegrates human flesh. That's
not only human flesh, but that comes along further in the episode. So
it wreaks havoc on the ship's systems too, apparently.
Yeah,
but it's just much slower. Anyway, they come to the consensus that they need to all sit in a pod and go to sleep.
Yep.
And leave Seven and the doctor in charge. And Chakotay, he's like, no, we're not leaving a Borg drone in charge of the ship.
Right.
And which is really weird, because he hates 7 of 9 so much, but somehow they end up dating in the last season. It just drives me crazy.
Don't tell me that, because I haven't seen the rest of Voyager.
Spoiler alert. It doesn't even make it. You're going to be so... I'm just preparing you, because you're going to be so angry, because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, I think she should have ended up with the doctor.
You know, I don't know.
The doctor's not real.
Even though he's not real.
But the doctor did procreate once. It's in an episode later on. I don't know if you saw it yet.
I didn't see it, but I read it on Wikipedia.
He procreated one. They don't even explain how that happens. He just, like, has a kid after being left on a planet for a long time.
Right. When I was younger, my family, our family nights were basically Star Trek. My dad's not a sci-fi fan at all. He's more of a, like,
Oh, speaking of, you've already heard Holly. She was on our Comic-Con episode a couple episodes ago. So if you've heard that, you should totally know who she is. I'm so sorry.
You should totally know who I am.
Yeah.
Like about now, like, you should just fucking know who I am. Okay? No, just kidding.
They don't even know who I am.
Let me just tell you. 86
episodes later, they don't even know me. I hope they do.
Right?
I hope they know.
I would really hope so. By now, if you're still here, you should probably have a clue. Storin, my dog, however, has no idea, and she keeps coming over and putting her paw right next to the mic and trying to get me to, like, pay attention to her. She's blind. Aww. She's blind, by the way. And she's just, like, grasping at straws, putting her paw out in the air.
For you animal lovers, this is the animal lovers episode.
Yes. Poor Storin, we found in a storm.
Yeah, they go into the storage containers, and Seven's left all alone with the doctor, and she's scared he's going to make her do a whole bunch of social interactions on the holodeck. But thankfully, she's kept herself busy with all her busy work that she's got to do.
Yeah, so basically, Captain Janeway decides that everyone should go. Well, no, that's not necessarily true.
Tom,
she does decide, but the doctor kind of throws all of these possible outcomes to her, and he's like, look, you guys should all go into some cryogenic tubes and sleep for a month, and I believe that after that month we'll be out of the nebula and you guys will be safe, because if they're in the tubes, then they won't feel
it slows down their metabolism and, you know, makes it so that it doesn't burn them somehow.
Right.
Anyway, tubes are magic.
There's science involved.
Tubes are magic. That's all you need to know.
So, Janeway leaves the doctor and Seven on the ship. Now, obviously, we all know that the doctor.
No, they got thrown out the airlock.
Hmm?
No, I'm joking.
I missed
that. They airlocked them.
But so, you know, Captain Janeway has to talk to Seven of Nine about how she feels.
And how she's got to answer to the doctor. It's like a hologram.
Yeah. And, you know, Seven of Nine has a real problem with that. So she's like, you should trust me, and of course I will carry out your wishes, and of course I will, you know, keep you all safe, keep the crew safe. And the captain's like, well, you know, I absolutely believe that. However,
doctor's the ranking officer.
You
don't have any rank.
Well, you know, she was like, you just left the collective, and you're used to a hive mind, and you came to my ship, and there are only 196 people. And you're struggling there. What would you do if you are on this ship and there are no conscious minds for you to meld with, and it's just you and the doctor? You know, the captain really
she's trying
tried
to empathize with,
to make
with her
sure
a little bit,
that Seven sure. was capable of fulfilling this task.
And be okay.
Yeah. And Seven was like, I can do it. Have faith in me. Obviously, she wasn't pleading, because that's not Seven.
No,
but
she's just like, I can do it. I'm Borg.
She was like, I am Borg. I am perfection, and I will manage this. So basically, that's how it starts out.
And then after they go in stasis, you know, the next time we see Seven, it's 10 days later. She's fine. She's got a routine set.
She's good.
And then, you know, things start going a little weird.
A little awry, yeah. She appears to have contact with an alien ship who is also in the nebula.
And how it's the first, like, it's his third time trying to get through.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's like, maybe you could come aboard. And they do, like, trying to do
a
parts exchange.
Yep.
Like, do you have any excess deuterium? Deuterium is real. Did you know that?
I did not.
It's like a product of, like, hydrogen or helium or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah. No, I didn't know.
Deuterium's a real thing.
I didn't know. See? Science, people. Science.
So they're trading deuterium. I think it's like hydrogen. It's like a third bonded hydrogen atom or something like that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. And then she agrees to trade him a manipulator or
some kind of core
food. No, it's a materializer of some sort. It materializes things.
Anyway,
that's his defense of, this girl doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about.
I don't remember. I don't remember what it is. She needs some piece of technology,
needs
some deuterium. Yeah, so they just trade it, and I don't remember what it is. I watched this episode a couple days ago.
So he appears, so she has him, transported over onto the ship, and they go into the bay, and he starts like.
Telling her how lonely it is. Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to rape the shit out of you. And that's what I got out of it. He was being really freaking creepy.
We should spend some time together.
Yeah. And he was like, basically, there's nothing you can do. And she pulls out her phaser and she's like, get off of my ship.
Go away. Leave me alone. And then she starts hearing, and then she's trying to walk him back to the transporter.
Yep.
She starts hearing people's voices. So she turns around for a second.
She hears Paris. He's like, well, okay,
if we
back up a moment. So while the 10 days are going on, Paris is a little claustrophobic and he somehow continues to escape from his pod. And
it's because he's not cuddling with Harry Kim. If he could cuddle with Harry Kim, he wouldn't need to go anywhere.
I loved Harry. I love his joke about
need a teddy bear.
Him a teddy bear. Yeah. It's so cute. But anyway, so back to that little portion. Paris keeps getting out of his pod, and
so
the doctor and Seven keep putting him back in his pod. Well, before she makes contact with this gentleman. He's not necessarily a gentleman, but I don't know what his race is, so I can't
I don't know what his race is either.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name.
He kind of says it, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, between the time frame that, between day 10 and day 29, the doctor's, he's got some kind of device that
The mobile emitter. Yeah, the mobile emitter
allows him to leave the infirmary. So, it allows him to move about the ship because obviously he's a program and he has to stay in the infirmary, but he's got this device that lets him move around the ship. And it starts to malfunction because of the nebula. And
the ship's systems are starting to do. They have neurogenic gel packs that have to be switched out and they crawl around in there.
And if the doctor's if his program shuts off and he's not in the infirmary, he's unrecoverable. He will cease to exist.
Theoretically, he is, but it's gone out a couple times. They're trying to build tension
the episode is a very tense episode for sure. But so that just lets you know. So if we go back to where we were about Seven having this person on the ship, she's basically alone. She doesn't have the doctor there with her
anymore because he's stuck in the infirmary.
Exactly. To confer with, she can talk to him through comm, but she's not able to really have companionship with anyone. And she kind of goes off in this one woman, I wouldn't say show, but mission.
A one woman show
about her, She's fighting to prove to herself that she is capable of.
I
don't want to use the word assimilating into humanity, but I kind of do.
She kind of has to reassimilate.
She really has to reassimilate into humanity.
So basically, she turns her head for a second when she hears Tom call out.
So
the guy is gone,
Tom is crawling out of his thing, and he's like, "Help me, help me." And when she sees Tom, she looks at him. And when she turns back, this foreigner
who was
on the ship is gone.
Intruder alert time.
Yep.
And so
he's roaming the ship.
Yeah. So after the break, it turns out that he's like trying to wreak havoc on the ship. And he's playing some kind of game with her.
Fucking with the warp core and shit. Sorry, that was a little loud.
And she's kind of going crazy trying to follow him. She's like, oh, you better talk. The guy's like, you better talk to me or bad things could happen.
And she's 7 of 9. So she's like, fuck you. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just going to refuse.
She's running around.
Pardon my language, by the way. Holy cow.
It's the alcohol talking, guys.
It's the whiskey. It's
and the wine. In me. It's a scotch.
Don't know what to do with myself.
Got a little scotch in you. It's Irish whiskey, not scotch. Seven is just kind of going nuts, like trying to find out this guy because he keeps trying to play games with her. And she ends up in the engineering section, and she's pointing. Oh. She's got a phaser rifle. She's like pointing at nothing. The doctor's fixed his mobile emitter, barges in. It's like Seven, like nothing. There's nobody here. There's never been anybody here. And, well, and you're, as the audience, you're like, what the hell's going on? Like, is she like going crazy, or is the doctor, you know, just unable to see what's going on? Or is the doctor just an imagination, too?
And one of the things about her going to the warp core, she lets the doctor know, and she continues on her days. And they've got about 6 days left. And she's like, I am alone. You know, the doctor leaves her in command, which was not something that the captain wanted, because of the captain and hers past, and didn't want her to kind of like, you know, the captain's not really still sure if she can really trust Seven.
Yeah.
She has faith that Seven wants to work with the Federation. However, she can't necessarily trust her because she is kind of insubordinate. But,
that's how Seven of Nine rolls.
That's how she rolls. So, because the doctor's transmitter is broken, Seven is basically commanding the ship, and she's trying to fix all the things that the nebula is going is wreaking havoc on. And
it's starting to tear her ship apart, like slowly but surely. She's just so busy with
she's
everything.
She's changing parts. She's, you know, there. Part of one of the conversations she has with the alien on the ship that's running around, the intruder. Is like he's had to rebuild his engines 3 times, and
he's never made it through before.
He's never made it through, and he's pissed because they're so close to getting through, and he's never made it through, and all this nonsense. And you know, Seven is trying her best, and she starts to kind of feel the pressure,
and she's starting to have illusions of the crew coming after her and doubting her ability to do anything.
Yeah, she, you know, in the beginning, she hears Paris asking for help, but he's not really there, and so
at one point, Neelix calls to her, says, "Don't let me die."
Yeah, and
don't
so
let me
she's,
die.
She's continually hearing the same crewmates cry out and ask for her help, but she's not finding them. And then she actually finds them once, and she sees them burn up. And
oh yeah, like on engineering, she sees Tom and Kim like
they burn up and die.
They were like cuddling together, and all of a sudden they're burning.
They're just spontaneously combusted.
That's very like Halloween-y. Like I just very like kind of a creepy thing. It's
it
just
is
like spontaneous
creepy.
Human combustion.
Yeah.
Like these weird stories you hear.
Yeah.
And it's just
Trace going.
I just love all the different like little subtle things in this episode. Like she starts to hallucinate that Borg are coming after her, and that you've become weak, you've become, you know, inconsequential. You need to come back to the Borg to be, you know, to be better. And then the crew is doubting her, and it's like they're like minutes away from getting out, and all the systems are failing.
Basically,
and
this episode is about confidence in self. It's not about, like, if you don't trust yourself, you're going to talk yourself into these crazy, crazy scenarios. And that's kind of what she was doing. She was so alone. And obviously being Borg, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you know what Borg is. You know how it works.
Yeah.
You know, what if you, as a human, American, you know, wherever you live, what if you were just plucked and put
left
somewhere
alone
where you didn't know anyone, and you kind of had to learn how to live with a bunch of people that you didn't know, and then all of a sudden, those people were gone.
I mean, that's also a common trope of horror where, like, you know, someone's left completely
seclusion
alone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this episode hits on a lot of different notes. Brian Fuller joked around that this was, like, a kind of a attempt at, like, The Shining.
Yeah, I guess kind of, yeah. Yeah, a lot of delusions, you know. I think we've kind of spoiled the ending, but basically
She breaks down. Yeah, she breaks down all the ship. The ship's breaking down because of the nebula. She reaches out. She goes down to the deck 14 where all the cryopods are. She reroutes all the power from life support everywhere to the engines just to get
them
out.
There's only 14. Thing.
She sacrifices herself, sort of, and then they wake her up and say, like, "Oh, we almost lost you because the life support was starting off."
I think that
I just wanted to see. I wanted to see what happened when everyone was out of the nebula, and then they open up the cryopods, and then there's no atmosphere on the ship, and they all start to die.
Right?
They kind of forgot about that part.
Yeah,
because everyone's okay except for Seven.
So basically, Seven is faced with her delusions, and she has to decide whether or not she's Borg or human. Not necessarily just Borg or human, but also whether she's Federation. And she decides at first that the logical thing to do, which is very Borg, is to take 10 of those pods, take the life support from 10 pods, and redirect them into the projectile engines or whatever to get them
just
out
get them
of the
out,
nebula.
Yeah.
And she makes the decision, and the engine does it.
They're
and then she
her.
And then she freaks out. She's like, "Fuck! What did I do?" So she goes down to deck 14, and she's going to check on these, you know, her crewmates that she was responsible for. And she decides, you know what, I made a really horrible decision, and she decides right then and there that she is not, yes, she's Borg. Borg is going to be part of her, and she understands that, but that she was a part of that crew, and that their lives were more important than hers. So she has to take the fear of being alone and being isolated and surviving and puts others' needs in front of hers. And it's a wonderful episode. She, what happens is she has to revert all power into the pods, and that takes away her.
She takes she cuts off life support for the entire ship except for the pods and the engines.
And so then she gets them out. She ends up passing out, and you don't know if she's going to wake up or if she's going to die because she has no oxygen. So somehow she comes around and she wakes up and she's on, you know, Doc's table.
Oh, brain damage wasn't that bad. She'll be fine.
Right. But,
she's also getting nanites that fix her biology and stuff.
Well,
like that,
the nebula was screwing with her cybernetic
Borg implants.
Mm-hmm. And that's why she was delusional.
Seeing all this stuff.
But yeah, when she wakes up, you're just kinda sitting there going, if they all came out of their pods and there was no atmosphere...
Yeah, how did that work?
How did that work? And if they got out of the nebula and the ship regained its control and, you know, automatically turned on the oxygen and whatnot...
Maybe.
How long was 7 of 9 out? Because she's human.
Yeah.
And she couldn't survive
she needed to
breathe. That long without oxygen or resuscitation. So
they just like to wrap things up in a neat bow, and it's just fine.
Yeah,
it all works out.
Seven probably should have died, although that would have sucked because Seven's awesome.
She's like my favorite character.
She's great.
And you know, people say that she's just eye candy, but I mean, she is easily probably one of the best actors on that show.
She is gorgeous, but holy shit, she's an amazing actress.
Like the part where she's on sick bay and like she's talking about the guy that's been following her around, and you know, doctor's
you
like,
believe her.
Doctor's like, "Are you scared? Are you frightened?" And she looks like she's frightened, and she's like, and she's not saying a thing, and then she kind of just pulls herself up and like, "I am Borg," and she's like, "It's great."
That was Borg. Do not feel fear, but it was. I am Borg. Like, she's a
phenomenal actress.
She is.
So, what were your thoughts of this episode? I mean, I know I usually when I have guests on, I like to have them pick the episode. I'm sorry I didn't let you to pick the episode.
It's okay.
I wanted to do like a Halloween special type thing because we did one last year. So, with this being like a kind of the Halloween, I mean, it's not like scary, but I mean, it's got tropes of horror. It's got the being alone. It's got the hallucinating, you know, type of thing that you'd see commonly in like horror genre tropes. So, what was your take on the episode?
I mean, I think it's a great episode. Any episode, like I said, I kind of told you earlier, any episode that involves the Borg is very interesting to me. You know, back in Next Generation, there's an episode where the Borg, me, I think is that he calls himself me or I can't remember. No,
it's Hugh.
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 Hugh. That's what it was.
They name him Hugh. Yes.
I love that episode,
yeah.
And it touches back. And this episode is very similar, and it's like, I don't know, I love any episode that, you know, has to do with the Borg. You know, like, mm-hmm. Picard becomes Borg, like, that's...
Yeah, Best of Both Worlds, Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Like, I like the guy who's a Borg on the show walking around. I love how they have the smoke and the green lights, which is also kind of like a horror, like a haunted house type thing.
Yeah,
in the episode where she's running down the corridors and, like, it's all...
And
it's
he's
smoke
haunting
and the,
her,
yeah.
And he's like, you are nothing without the Borg. You could never be human. You are one. You are alone.
You are not unique. You are
not
perfect.
Borg.
It's
yeah.
just... It's
Which is
everything,
hard for someone.
Everything she fears, like, just being drilled into her head.
Yeah. Because, like, I think the beautiful thing with the Borg, and maybe I just said beautiful, and that makes me the enemy, but I love the Borg because they're about perfection, and I'm a very anal person. I have a lot of OCDs, and I think maybe that's why I enjoy watching episodes of the Borg.
You identify with them.
I do.
They're your protagonists.
I guess I do, yeah. So, but this episode, yeah, as far as horror goes, you know, what more... How scarier does it get than being alone?
Yeah,
you know?
It's like more horror for Seven than it is for the audience, but you're supposed to empathize for her and what she's going through, and I totally, totally do.
Yeah, and if you're a fan of Voyager, you know, you've got mixed feelings about Seven, because she's, you know, if you've grown to enjoy the Captain, you know, Seven is very, you know...
disrespectful.
Insubordinate. She's very...
That's kind of disrespectful, though.
I mean, I guess... it is disrespectful. I was thinking more of an anarchist, like... But, yeah, that anarchist is actually a wrong term, too, because she understands respect. She just doesn't see it the same way.
Yeah.
Because of her upbringing, you know. She was human for only, 7 years before she was assimilated?
Yeah, she was a kid.
7 or 9
Yeah, she was
years.
A kid. Yeah, 7 or 9, I can't remember.
So, yeah.
Yeah,
no, I
kid.
Loved the episode. Like I said, I've got my mental health issues.
Yeah,
and I really do. I love the Borg, and I guess that's kind of probably wrong.
Well, I love the Borg, too. I think they're fascinating. They're a great bad guy for the series, and it's fascinating that they made a Borg a main character in Voyager.
I know. I was so excited.
And Voyager, like, I mean, it's probably like my least favorite series, but, like, the Doctor and Seven of Nine are my favorite characters.
Yeah.
And this episode features them prominently. So this is an episode I definitely enjoy.
Yeah. I super love the Doctor. Like...
He's hilarious.
He is. And he's... You know, it's like you have Data in Next Generation.
Love Data.
And Data is so, I don't know what the word is. He's so infantile, you know, to humans. Like,
he
doesn't understand, you know, general human interaction, general
emotion,
human emotion.
Comedy.
You know, all that stuff.
Everything just goes over his head.
And the Doctor is
the Doctor completely
similar,
understands it.
But in a different flavor.
Yeah, the doctor's got emotions. He's just a projection of light. He's definitely got emotions.
Yeah.
And the best bedside manner ever.
He's awesome. Well, no, he's like, you have a cut on your finger. Suck it up. Get back to work. Like, that's my... Well, my mom's a nurse, and that's my mom. My mom is like, you have a cold. Go home. You know what I mean? Like,
drink orange juice. Take some Tylenol.
Suck it up.
Sleep.
Rub some dirt in it and fucking get on with your life.
Rub some dirt on
and
it.
And that's the Doctor.
Drink some Vaseline.
Drink Vaseline? I think that's probably a bad idea.
It's great medical advice, guys.
Hi, Trace. So my monster is joining us now. Trace watches Star Trek daily. When I go to work, we put the TV on for them, and it's always BBC America, unless Michael, my husband, is in charge of TV.
So they're culture dogs and Star Trek dogs. They raise their pinky whenever they have their tea.
Do you, Trace? Do you?
He does not look impressed with my humor. Not at all.
He is not amused.
He wants to bite me.
Fraser. Alrighty. But yeah, so that's...
Any other thoughts and feelings about this episode?
You know, as far as a scary horror episode, you know, if you are codependent on human interaction, I'm an introvert, so I'm totally fine with being alone. But yeah, if you're an extrovert, this is definitely a scary, scary, it's a possibility. Like, this stuff kind of actually happens to people, you know, people...
Especially in horror movies.
Especially in horror... I don't really watch horror movies.
I don't watch horror movies really either. I'm not into the horror theme, so I could be totally off base. This might not have anything to do with horror or anything.
We got people listening, and they're like, that's fucking rainbows, bitches.
I mean, I listen to the No Sleep podcast, so I listen to some horror podcasts, because I don't mind listening to it. I'm just not a big fan of watching horror movies, because they're pretty much really cliche, and pretty much they all do the same thing.
I know. I love fake gore, like comedic, gory...
I know on the episode you talked on Nerdynomicon, you talked about, you know, Dalen Tucker versus the Evil, which, I mean, that's great, like a comedy horror, but I mean, it's a good comedy horror is like really hard to find, and that's probably one of the best ones.
Yeah. I think that the most, actually, I did watch Crimson Peak a couple of weeks ago, and I absolutely loved it. I don't know if you've seen it.
No, is that technically horror?
I believe so. Oh. It's a ghoul. I wouldn't say ghost. I would say it's a ghoulish story, because it's not just ghostly apparitions. It's like physical stuff. And it's amazing. It's so good. Like, so scary, but also it has a great storyline, and it's really good. I would definitely recommend watching Crimson Peak, even though I'm not a big fan of horror.
Interesting. Yeah. I have to take a look at it.
It's great. I recorded it on my on demand, but it's so good. It's, The gentleman who plays Loki.
Oh, Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston, yes. And the girl, she's got a... her last name starts with M.
Oh, Crimson Peak. I saw that in movie theaters. It starts off there in Buffalo.
Yes! New York!
I thought that was hilarious. Crimson. I'm like, oh, a movie that takes place in Buffalo. Oh, in the beginning of it. Oh, well.
Only the beginning, yes.
But I just thought it was hilarious that it was taking place in Buffalo.
I kind of chuckled when I was like...
Lots of incest stuff in that. Like, ever since Game of Thrones came on, incest is like the coolest thing ever. Jaime and Cersei. And then now in Crimson Peak, like Loki was like with his sister, kind of.
Yeah.
It's just like... Lots of incest is popping up nowadays, though.
I mean, for the storyline, it made sense. Like, it made perfect sense, because I was thinking at the entire time, I was like, that's his fucking sister. And then I'm like, okay, there's something weird going on there. But, yeah, no, I thought that movie was great. And that's a little... scarier than I would generally want to watch. But I love The 13th Ghost. Have you ever seen The 13th Ghost?
No.
Oh, you have to see The 13th Ghost. You have to.
I saw the other one that I said I didn't see.
That's true. You did say you didn't see it.
So, I was like, I couldn't think of it. They said Tom Hiddleston. I'm like, oh, wait. Is that one that has a buffalo scene in it?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw it in the theater.
Industrial
buffalo back in the day.
Yeah.
Back when there was mud and people instead of just mud.
Yeah. Yeah. So this obviously is not as scary as that. However, it does centralize around themes that are very scary, like isolation, and obviously fear is scary. That's why it's fear.
Fear is the mind killer. Some Dune for you.
Some Dune for you. Yeah,
put your hand in the box.
Dune collection?
Yeah.
I saw a new Dune book at Barnes & Noble that I don't have, and I need it.
Need the Dune.
But there are like four books.
The spice must flow.
There's this guy who comes into Chipotle every week.
Does he say the spice must flow?
No, but he always wears the coolest shirts, and he had a Dune shirt, and it said the spice must flow. And I was like, oh my god. I love your shirt. He talked to me for like 5 minutes. Luckily, we didn't have anybody in line, but
yeah.
But oh my gosh, yeah, he's cool. He wears some awesome shirts. Hi, Trace.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for letting me come over and record this episode with you.
It was so much fun.
There's been lots of noise in the background, so hopefully you'll just take that guys as like spooky hauntings in the house.
Yeah, there's
with the dogs running around and paw scraping. It's like it's you know, the ghost scratching on the wall.
You're gonna have to add like door just, creaking noises. Like,
just imagine you're in a dark, stormy place. All those noises that aren't normally part of the podcast is the horror attacking you.
Ooh.
It's weighing down on you and it's scary.
My dog is looking at him like, do I need to bite you?
Most people probably do. I think our listeners think about it too. It's like, do I need to bite him if I ever see him?
Somebody needs to bite that boxer.
Someone needs to bite David because he's just nuts.
Oh, gosh.
Well, again, thank you so much for joining me, Holly. Thank you for having me over at your house so we could do this episode today.
Not a problem at all. Anytime.
And I hope you guys enjoyed this new episode of Scentaholics.
Yeah, I hope you guys...
Where can we find you on social media?
I do have a Facebook page, Holly Michelle V. And I actually have a website. It's hollymichellev.icanvoice.com. And you can listen to my demo and hire me if you want to.
And Twitters?
What?
And Twitters?
Twitters? I don't have an actual Twitter for my voiceover stuff. But I do have a Twitter. I don't know the name for it, though, because I hardly use it. Actually, no, it's Lunavine. Lunar Vine, yeah.
Nice. Well, you can all our music is spread at Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. You can find us online at Scentaholic Duo, at me at David_J_Duncan, Aaron at Blackbird2004, Guy at GS Davis Art, Faith at Faith Hertzberg. And if you want to give us some ratings and reviews, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, we're on Google Play Music. Please go ahead and write us reviews, give us stars. We love those things because it'll help us get seen and help more people find the show. And that's what we're all about, getting more people to hear the things that we have to say about Star Trek and talking about Star Trek. So we hope that people will share this out so that people can enjoy the show.
And if you like the show, well, you know, they'll know exactly what you guys enjoy listening to. And that'll make better podcasts. So go ahead and like it. Give it stars.
And write us an email at scentaholics@yahoo.com. Because if you don't,
voice.
Yeah, if you don't like something, email us. Tell us what you don't like. If you do like something, tell us what you do like. If you want to just comment on something we said in an episode, or give us an idea for an upcoming episode, shoot us an email.
Be a part of the revolution.
Yes, podcast revolution. And be sure to check out our friends, the Artful Gremlins. They have their podcast, Quit Me Models, and Nerdynomicon, which Holly is part of the Nerdynomicon. So you'll hear her on there if you'd like to hear her here.
Yeah.
Also, we have a Patreon for the show. It's patreon.com/Scentaholics. Please go check that out. If you think the show's worth a dollar, give us a dollar or more. Whatever you feel like giving, we're happy with, and it'll help us provide more content for you. Also, Guy Davis, who does the USS Tamerlan and Witches of Flame, also has a Patreon. He is Patreon at GS Davis Art. Well, thank you all so very much for listening. Live long and prosper. You can sink and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Don't you just love his informational voice? I do.
Thank you, Holly.
You're very welcome.
It's my serious voice. I don't. I do it at the beginning and I do it at the end.
At the end, it's like one person, and then I'm fun and I'm great, and then it's like serious time.
Yeah, information time. Breaking it down.
Alrighty. Well, I'm glad that you came over, and this was a lot of fun.
Thank you. I should probably move this back over closer to me.
Just a wee bit. Oh, I like your accent.
It's a nice little accent, isn't it?
It's wonderful. Honestly, go ahead and introduce it. if you want to. But if I get intoxicated, I tend to slip into like a Scottish accent.
I love Scottish accents.
I just can't help it. It's like,
it's like it just happens, you know. Like I like Scottish music, and like sometimes I listen to Scottish music. When I was at college, I'd like listen to a bunch of it, then I go sit with the guys, and have dinner in the lobby.
Yeah.
And then I speak in a Scottish accent. And they look at me like it's funny. It's like, am I speaking in a Scottish accent? Yes, because I was listening to Scottish music.
And you know what? You can't help it. Like, when it happens.
It's such a good accent.
When it happens. Like, okay. So, when I speak.
English?
Normal?
Normal?
I'm actually concentrating on how I'm saying the words. Mm-hmm. So, when I'm intoxicated, my attention span is like. Ding, 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 ding. So. So I don't actually focus on what I'm saying, so I tend to slip into accents, and typically...
Accents are fun!
They're so much fun. But it's funny because it's normal for me. It's like natural.
Natural.
Yes.
I do funny, weird accents sometimes, too.
Do you? Oh, so, yeah.
Always good to have stuff for the outtakes at the end. So, like, yeah. I mean, all their accent conversation will
probably be at the end.
Probably go to the back.
You never know. They might find their way in there. I might get a little more intoxicated and they might just slip in.
That'll work too, because we're all about funny. And, like, I like how we're already a couple drinks in before you start.
Right. And, you know, alcohol actually constricts your vocal cords. And it's not actually good to have alcohol when you're doing any kind of voiceover stuff.
Good thing this is just a podcast for people's entertainment.
For people's entertainment.
People's entertainment. You got a snort in there.
I can't help it.
Oh, it's beautiful. We're going to have so much fun doing voice acting stuff, Kevin. Smoothers.
Smoothers. Oh, I love that.